Hi, welcome. This is Dave Brock of Partners in Excellence. Welcome to another one of our podcasts, really focusing on how we, both as organizations and individuals, leverage, social businesses and social technology and what those mean to us as we engage our colleagues, as we engage our customers, and as we kind of engage the communities we work in much more effectively and impactfully. So I'm really delighted to welcome Ed Abrams of IBM to join us and to really present kind of his point of view and his experience and share some of the things that IBM's doing that I think are really represent kind of leading kind of thinking and practices. Ed, welcome. It's good to have you here.
Thanks, Dave. I'm delighted to be here and to spend a few minutes with you and with your audience. I think this is a critically important topic, and we at IBM are here to share some of not only our best practices, but ways that we can hopefully help others think about social business and be successful as well.
Outstanding. Great. And before we get very far into this, Ed, if you could maybe just so everybody has you kind of calibrated, maybe share a little bit of your background and your current role in IBM.
Sure. I am currently the Vice President of Marketing for IBM's small and medium business area. I have responsibility in that role for all of our go-to-market and all of our execution across hardware, software, and services with smaller companies around the globe. In this role, my job is to figure out with our business partners how we can most effectively solve the wants and needs of smaller businesses as they look to compete in today's marketplace.
Well, as you started describing that, managing the small and medium businesses in IBM is by no means a small task. It's a monstrous task, particularly as you look at across the entire IBM solution offerings. It must be really kind of fascinating. But
it's a wonderful set of experiences, and I wouldn't trade it for the world. It does keep me up at night, but it's still a lot of fun to deal with.
Well, it's the good kind of stuff to keep you up at night. So, well, Ed, we're talking about social business and social technologies. And, those are words that, I think if both of us had nickels for every time we read about it in the press in a week, we'd be very, very rich people. So maybe starting to clarify things a little bit, what is a social business and how does social business maybe differentiate, how is it different than some of the social technologies that we hear a lot about?
Sure. I think that's a great question, in all honesty. And a social business to me is far more important than the social technologies, right? Social technologies are simply the enablers to drive deeper engagement with our customers and with our prospects. Social technologies include everything from listening tools to data analytic tools to just understanding how to leverage many of the digital and social channels today. But a real social business understands how to use those technologies to bring content that's relevant and meaningful to their end customers to the market in a way that is consumable and how the marketplace or the end customer is interacting today. And so social businesses are really those that have figured out how to not just market with digital technologies, but really build engagement. And by engagement, I mean a real relationship, a real dialogue, a real set of interactions with their customers. Because after all, that's what all of our customers, ours, our small and medium businesses customers, are all looking for. They're looking for dialogue, they're looking for interaction, they're looking for insights, intelligence that can help them make better decisions about their overall business. And that's where social business, as a set of powerful knowledge-based tools, comes into play and allows customers, as I said, to have that dialogue, to have that intelligence, to have that learning to make better decisions about the companies they want to work with.
Yeah, I'm really delighted with a couple of the points that you made, and I'd really like to kind of explore them a little bit more. I mean, so much of what we see, I think, in kind of social technologies right now is frankly a lot of shouting. You know, a lot of, you know, people kind of waving their hands over the web or whatever social media channels they use to say, you know, see me, buy me. But you made an important distinction. You really talk about a different way of thinking about customers and engaging them. And then you mentioned the thing that's, to me, so important, the dialogue, the conversation. It's, you know, how do we transform kind of the conversations we have with customers, and how do we engage them differently than, you know, just a lot of kind of self-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
What is it as you kind of look at to structure yourself to engage customers differently, what are the three most critical things that organizations should be looking at to change the conversation, to start getting into the dialogues, to more effectively engage and talk to customers about what's important to them?
Sure. I think the three things that we see in the marketplace and that our business partners and us are focused on really starts with, number one, the fact that in today's marketplace, 85% of the time, a company is going to make a business decision. That can be a technology decision. It can be a purchase decision. So any time that our customers are making a decision, our customers, your customers, small business customers, 85% of the time, they start with search. Okay, so that is thing number one to think about, right, is that, you know, as you talk about becoming a social business, understand that it starts with search, and that is how your customers and your prospects are starting their conversation, right? The second thing that's important is that it starts then after search with thought leadership, with pieces of information, of content, if you would, that help us to make decisions that are honest, that reflect not only your point of view, but potentially others' points of view as well in the purchase decision, that are sincere and are not marketing-based type messages, but truly things that provide insight, that provide knowledge, that inform. Right? And then the third piece that is so critical from a social business perspective is the idea of active listening, of being able to really make sure, just as in real life, that you are listening to what the other party in this conversation is saying, where they are headed, what clues and what cues they are giving you about the information that they want, and then that you are able to serve up that information in a relevant and meaningful fashion. So again, the three things that I would point to are: recognize the reason you're trying to be in social is because that's where the market is. 85% of the time, it starts with search. When people are searching, they're looking for genuine content that informs and educates, not markets to. So that's the second point about the right type of content for your marketplace. And then the third is the idea of active listening. Listen more than you speak in order to ensure that you're understanding with clarity what it is that the marketplace is looking for and are therefore able to deliver that content in point number two in a relevant fashion.
Yeah. So really, you know, if we look at it, a lot of what we were used to maybe in the 90s and 2000s was an engagement process that was not necessarily initiated in the web and with search. And so, you know, a lot of our traditional means of engaging customers through our traditional kinds of marketing programs, through our sales channels, and so on. You know, all the rules have all changed, and the customer has become less dependent on, say, the sales channel as being the educator and informer of potential solutions for them. And they're now looking, you know, leveraging search and leveraging the web to start looking at solutions themselves, starting to filter things, starting to leverage information that's being shared by their peers and colleagues around the world to start narrowing down on things that they're most interested in.
Exactly. We've all heard the term many, many times about the informed consumer, right? And that's what we're really talking about here is that technology has enabled all of us in our personal and professional lives to become far more informed. And we want that information prior to going into any type of real sales engagement so that we can have the upper hand. And a social business understands that as the motivations of the end customer and knows how to put the messages out there that advantage themselves when those conversations are starting to take place.
Yeah. How does this, I mean, if you look at, I mean, traditionally we've had kind of in organizations kind of silos that we engage customers with. We have, you know, the classic marketing organization that's out there, historically creating awareness, visibility, driving demand, and hopefully creating leads that salespeople follow up on, and then salespeople take those leads, usually toss them back to marketing, but those few that they accept, they start, you know, moving forward with, and so on. How does social business really change that kind of siloed approach, that traditional approach of marketing first and then followed by sales, you know, going through to get the order? Do you see changes in the way that process works? We hear a lot of chatter about sales and marketing integration, but I'm not sure we understand what that means and what it means in the context of social business.
Yeah, I think you're on a great point. And quite honestly, the world in which we live in today, the access to information that is provided today, truly shatters the traditional handoffs that you describe with outbound marketing leading to sales for follow-up to closure, right? What we're seeing now is every aspect of a business is, you know, in some way both the sales and marketing organization at this point. Businesses need to be flexible enough in a social world, and the good social businesses are, to recognize that the point of entry, the point of start in any discussion can happen anywhere in that continuum of marketing, communication, sales, even sales support or fulfillment, right? So the good social businesses now have all of that connected internally and are ensuring that their team is completely integrated, has the information that they need to help move the customer conversation in whatever direction that customer wants to go. So when we talk about sales and marketing integration, it's not about having the ability for your salespeople to recite your marketing messages or for your marketing people to close a deal, but it really is that ability through technologies to serve up the right information that a customer wants and pass them seamlessly inside of your organization and inside of your conversations to the expert who has the knowledge that they are looking for. So good social businesses really are building collaboration tools internally as much as they are building externally. They've taken their culture and they've embedded these transformational tools, these capabilities to do real-time listening, these abilities to share information seamlessly, to do analytics real-time, and made them available to everyone in their organization such that every person can service the individual needs of that customer depending upon the dialogue that they want to have.
Yeah, you really hit on so many really, I think, not so subtle things, but things that I think a lot of us miss when we're trying to look at these things. You know, I kind of developed this model of when you look at sales and marketing and broader aspects of the organization, product marketing, customer service, and so on, I kind of have this model of a basketball team. You know, and we have different positions and roles in a basketball team, as center, guards, and forwards, and those people know kind of what they do. We have plays that we practice so that we're very agile on the court. But what happens is in the game is we pass the ball around to the person that's the open or to the person that can take the shot, and we become very, very nimble, and we become very, very agile in the way we respond to what's happening on the court, or in the case of our companies, you know, we become very, very nimble in terms of how we engage the customer, getting kind of the right, whether it's content, data, right person, working with the customer at the right time, rather than these traditional roles. So we really have to look at kind of organizationally how we work more effectively together, how we kind of, you know, get out of this silo mentality, and words you use like collaboration and leveraging the resources across the company really change organizationally the way we look at things, how we engage the customer. It also changes a huge amount about how we're measured, too, so that we all get aligned.
Absolutely. And look, as a 5'8" kid with a 3-inch vertical leap, I'm not really big into basketball, but I think your analogy works very, very well. The one thing that I would kind of flip in it is, you know, think about that basketball team, but think about it as playing defense in a way, because what we have to do is we have to be agile enough to recognize where the ball is going to go, because we don't necessarily control the ball anymore.
Right.
And so we have to be prepared as to whether it's out on the wing, whether it's up at the top of the key, whether it's at the baseline, right? We have to be prepared to react regardless. And that's something that I don't think enough businesses think about as they design their social business strategy. Many of them start with, look, here's the elegant way we would like to push our message out through the social technologies, out through the tools that we use. But really what they have to be very, very focused on is kind of that inbound exposure to their business. Where does their customer want to, again, pass that ball or drive that conversation? And that's why, again, you can't really have a social business strategy without having invested in the right social technologies to set yourself up. So listening tools to, again, understand where it is that your customers are having the conversation today. Big data analytics tools, and that's a scary term, but it's a set of analytics on unstructured information, right, on all of this social chatter that's out there, to help you make sense of the noise that is out there from a business perspective. And then the ability to take all of that insight and all of that information and deliver, again, relevant content and conversation is the key in all of this. So oftentimes, you know, it's a long way of me saying it, but oftentimes what we see and what our partners see as we begin to work with small and medium businesses on building out a social strategy is you've got to spend more time on the reactive thought than the proactive thought.
Right, and it's that nimbleness and agility to kind of respond to, you know, what the customer is needing right now and what's the right way to get that response to them. And I think so many times organizations right now struggle with that because they're kind of caught in the past way of doing things. And, you know, oh, this is marketing always used to handle this stuff, or sales or customer service. But now we have to be much more nimble, much more agile in working with and responding to the customer.
Absolutely, Dave. And that's quite honestly where we're seeing small and medium businesses be able to leapfrog in this regard. You know, we as IBM have talked about a smarter planet for the last 5 years, but when you look at things inside of a smarter planet, the ability to take social business and make it real, you're really seeing that small and medium businesses, because they're more nimble, because they're more agile, are able to make this move faster than a lot of large enterprises, where you've got big, heavy legacy systems, you've got big, heavy legacy organizations. And that's why this is so exciting to us, because small and medium businesses, they recognize the importance here, and that's where we're seeing them out in front and as real leaders in driving social business and the promise of a smarter planet through social business that the marketplace is saying they want and they need.
The other thing, and you mentioned, you started alluding to it, particularly with kind of the big data and analytics and unstructured data, is, you know, we're moving from kind of one-to-many type of messaging and communications to one-to-one, to very, mm-hmm. very specific, very focused conversations. And, you know, and the technologies and tools enable us to do things that we've never been able to imagine before, and go from, again, kind of this I like the term Joe Pine termed a number of years ago, which is mass customization, is we can take, you know, our content and our message, and we know, you know, what keeps Ed Abrams up late at night, and we can start tailoring our engagement process to hit the things that are keeping you up at late at night, and the quality of that engagement, because we're talking about what's important to you, just skyrockets immediately.
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's no different in a social business environment than it is in an interpersonal environment. You have much more success in conversations when you're talking about things that are relevant to your audience. And that idea of personalization, that idea of serving up content that appears to be uniquely customized for my needs, is what is of real value in a social business world. Now, The trick in that, and the thing that I think a lot of businesses need to learn, is that appearance of personalization does not need to overwhelm a business. It does not need to paralyze a business saying, oh my gosh, how am I going to have 1,000 personal conversations at once? Because what things like data analytics and big data analytics do is they point out the trends for different type of audiences. What are marketing people who are looking to buy from you likely to want that is different from finance people, that's different from IT people, that's different from, you know, end user housewife type customers, right? And you're able to then see what the unique conversations are that those different constituent types want to have, build content modules around those wants and needs, and then you're able to give the appearance of having a very unique conversation, yet you've built this into your front-end analytics, so you've anticipated these 5, 6, 7 key areas and are able to repeatably build the content that you're looking for. And that, I think, is the great benefit that social technology tools provide, and why they are important to enabling social business as we go forward.
Yeah, I'm really glad you went through that, because, I mean, one of the things that I encounter whenever I talk to small and mid-sized business, you know, CEOs or in those sorts of folks, is we start talking about big data and rich analytics and so on and so forth, and pretty soon they get overwhelmed and they can say, well, I can see how IBM can do this, but you know, I'm a $50 million or $100 million firm. How do we really leverage these tools in ways that that we can really use? I mean, we don't have the masses of resource. We don't have the masses of really experience and capability. What are, if you're providing some direction to CEOs of, say, 50 to 100, $150 million businesses about how they look at this and how they can start incorporating the technology and the tools to help them tailor these communications, what are the top three or so things they ought to look to be doing?
So I think there's a couple of things that I would point out here. You know, first, I'd start small. I really would. I'd ask smaller businesses to think about maybe using social collaboration tools internally and really drive the facilitated work of making sure that your teams are using these social tools and these social capabilities. You know, maybe a wiki or an internal community to get your company sharing information and using the processes, right? Because as you do that, you're going to see your team embrace the ideas and be able to take it broadly externally. Secondly, I would focus on education, right? You know, everybody these days is probably using something socially in their personal life, but not everybody recognizes how to use these tools from a business perspective. So really making sure, again, that your teams understand how the use of social capabilities will drive increases in efficiencies, will break down silos, will really change the way they work, is a second piece. So doing workshops, doing education, doing resource sharing across that community you built is a critical element of all of this. And then the third and probably most important thing is, again, to kind of think about and remember the audience that you're designing for, right? How is it that they are consuming information today? What is it that they're looking for today? Because it's easier to start participating in where conversations are already taking place than trying to drive net new conversations. So start small. Think about the internal education you need to do to talk about it from a business perspective, and remember your audience and start where they're having conversations and dialogues today. Those would be my three starting points from an advice perspective.
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. I'd add maybe kind of a corollary to your audience is you got to really know who your audience is. I mean, who your customer is. And and I think too many times we're really pretty glib at that. But you're making, you know, how do we tailor our communications, you know, to the marketing executives or to the financial executives or whatever, to marketing executives in a financial services company and marketing executives in a healthcare company. And so we really need to, as part of that audience, know who our audience is, know kind of the personas and who we really want to reach out and communicate with. And I think that takes some discipline in thinking about it rather than just, you know, papering the world.
I would completely agree with that. If you don't start with understanding your audience, if you don't start with, you know, really knowing, and that audience, again, can be internal or external.
Exactly.
Knowing their wants and needs, you will fail at this. So that's a great, great point, Dave.
Great. Well, I mean, we've covered a huge amount of ground in short time. I really appreciate your taking the time to share this. You know, I think, I mean, from the things that I've seen IBM doing and the perspectives you're taking, it really is, you exhibit a huge amount of leadership, not only to huge corporations, but to the small and medium kind of business market. What is any final message you'd like to leave with the people listening to this?
Well, the last message that I would leave here is that, you know, don't think for a moment you are in this alone or that you have to figure this out yourself. Whether it be IBM and our business partners or some of the people you're already working with today, there are many, many sources out there to help you be successful as you start to build out the social business aspects of your business. And the one thing that I would advise people is don't be afraid to ask. And again, you know, we've got a network of 130,000 business partners around the world who are in place to really help small and medium businesses make sense of all of this. And whether it's us and our partners or your current vendor, ask, because these are the people that can really help you figure out where to get started with all of the things that we talked about today.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, Ed, thanks again so much. This is really, I've really enjoyed this and learned a lot. I appreciate you taking the time.
Dave, my pleasure, and I'm happy to talk to you or anybody who listens to this on an ongoing basis to go deeper. It's one of my favorite topics, and I truly am passionate about it. I'm just not going to take anybody on in basketball, given my limited talents there.
Okay, great. Thanks, Ed. Have a great day.
Thank you.